Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Good morning, video games.
Good
Welcome
morning.
To Filthy Casuals.
Good morning, Tommy.
And good morning.
Whoa. What the fuck is going on here?
Good morning.
It's a podcast about changing video games hosted by three very kind. Well,
yeah, that's
one
right.
Very kind boy and then two rude little so-and-so.
Two little pranksters.
Yeah.
We're in a good mood, Tommy, because we'll open up again. So now we're podcasting in the same room.
That's
Hooray!
It. You couldn't get this kind of vibe going without being in the same room.
That's right.
My name is Borat, and with me, as always, the big man, Ben Vanell.
Yeah, Ben Donald Trump Vanell. And Adam,
I'm
Rudy
Bruno.
Giuliani. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Jack Shamesh. My name is Bruno. Oh, man. It's so annoying that things are open. You can go to shops, you can go to cafes and bars and shit. But the law still prevents us from being in the same room to do with this podcast.
I know.
For now.
Well, you know what? I was thinking, like, we should for next week. Why don't we just make a booking at a pub and like bring the portable recorder with us and just like record at a table at 5 p.m.?
I'll tell you the honest reason why. I will not be able to talk about video games in public that easily.
Good point.
Yeah.
Very good point. Yeah. Yeah,
I still feel enough shame about my
the
job
PS5 casing.
Yeah.
Imagine if we were doing that tonight, like a crowded. So for anyone, you know, out of the state or out of the country or whatever, today is, as we were recording this, the first day that Melbourne is open again after a brutal 4-month lockdown. So pubs are open as of midnight.
To be fair, I think it was only 3 months.
Start of July to start.
Was it start of July? I think it was end of July. Whatever it was, it was fucking long as shit.
Well, long as shit.
We've been we were in lockdown for over 200 days non-consecutively out of the year. That's a fucking long time.
And I guess maybe I'm thinking of like the stage four bit.
Mm.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. But anyway, so tonight is the first night that people will be back in pubs rejoicing. And the idea of that happening and then us in the corner going, I scheduled work off for November the 19th and now this game has been delayed and I'm not going to be able to play it. You're right, Adam. It makes me want to cave my own head in. That would be...
The bartender would have to come up and be like, sorry, boys, you're going to have to sit at the kids' table if you're going to be saying
hello,
stuff
bartender.
Like,
do you think the PS5 will have custom detachable fins? Of course they'll be made on the, you know, the off-brand market, but will Sony release official ones?
Excuse me, barkeep, have you got a ball pit that we would record in? Because we're little babies who want to talk about our toys.
Oh, this is a heavy pint glass. How do you think it compares heft-wise to the Xbox Series X?
As much as, like, you know, video games are for everyone now, especially after having been locked back inside for 3 to 4 months, whatever it was, closer to three in my opinion.
Probably four, I think.
To verify either way.
Must be nice.
My social anxieties have all returned. So there's no way I'm going to be able to. It's good that live shows are banned for a while because I'm going to have to work back up to speaking to anyone other than a fucking computer screen.
But we should say that we are recording this the night before we put it up. And by the time people are hearing this, if you listen to it, hot off the presses.
Oh, yeah.
This current moment in time, the three of us will be hanging out IRL. And it's the sort of thing that you love to hear about. So picture us as you're listening to this, just unable to make eye contact. None of us able to hold a conversation because we haven't been in the same room as other human beings for, in my opinion, 4 months.
Right. But I like, you know, closer to three. But yeah, it's been a long time.
Well, there's date changing constantly. What are you guys, CD Projekt Red?
Woo! Woo! So that was
that's yeah, the kind so of joke that I will message to the group chat while we're in person.
Yeah, yep. I can't wait to, to see you do your first ghost in 4 months tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, if you listen to this, if you listen to this live off the presses at what like 8 p.m. on the Thursday mm-hmm. night, feel free to message any questions to our moderator at Huey Baby on Instagram, and yep. he can field them to the group, and he'll be happy. Don't message us personally; we don't want to have contact with you, but message him, yep. and he will be more than happy to get the answer from the table and send you back the answer that he gets yeah. from us.
There's
can't think
no
of a better way.
Way
to do this.
No way he'll hate that.
Yeah, the fact that you've even said it as a joke means he's going to get one, maybe two.
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
I can't wait to forget that I've said this and then halfway through our meeting have him go, what the fuck's happening? Why is this one person messaged me? But yeah, bit of news to get through. Where do you want to be? Should we begin with, we woke up this morning.
Well, actually.
It's overnight our time.
Should we do the CD Projekt Red news now, or should we say we're going to do it now and then do it actually a little bit later than we said? Come on, I'm ready for the pub. Get me in there. I'm going to be fucking zipping around.
New date for Cyberpunk. It was meant to be out. Was it November 17? And it's
19.
And it's now December. What is it? December 10?
10?
It's 21 days after. So yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
Right.
Right. They put out a very, I do like the way they write their apology notes on social media. And, you know, God knows I've had enough time to come to grips with the way they do things, because this is now the third or fourth time they've had to delay it after a couple of months of repeatedly assuring people that it will be making the original date, which I think has raised the ire of a lot of people. But yeah, the big reason that they have given is that they are currently having to develop it for 9 different platforms simultaneously, and that bug testing and playtesting and everything of those 9 different platforms is taking longer than they had anticipated, and they don't want to put out a buggy product and get reamed for it on social media, so they're taking 3 extra weeks to perfect it. Pretty reasonable stuff, and I don't think I'm alone in saying that. The end. Let's move on. There's really no other opinion that anyone could possibly have on this story.
100%.
What else is going on?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably worth saying that, like, even us as video games journalists, not really that bothered. So I can't imagine anyone having an issue with it.
I get why people would. I think the reason people, the reasons that have made people angry at the fact that, I mean, not just disappointed. There's one thing to be like, oh, I wanted to play that as soon as possible.
Right.
You know, I felt that of like, ah, damn.
Me too. I said it the first time they delayed it. I was disappointed. Like, yeah. It didn't ruin my life. I didn't tweet about being disappointed or angry about it even, I don't think. It was a shame, but
I think you did, but in the context of, I wish I had this to get me through this fucked lockdown in the first
place. Sure, right. Yes.
That's it. I mean,
the thing I was complaining about was a once-in-a-lifetime awful traumatic event that the world's gone through, not the video game bit. Yes.
Well, it came across as... But yeah, I think just like the reasons I've seen people being actively angry on it, other than, you know, the thing you can kind of hand wave as just people being entitled or whatever, which is some people, but not everyone. But, like, the people complaining about the fact that their communication has been poor, where, like, they've bought billboards and they've told people again and again on social media and whatever that this is the release date now, da-da-da. I get why people are incensed by that being poorly communicated to them. But at the same time, I think all three of us have the same thing where anything that any company ever says, we ignore because it's being said for marketing reasons. Or I don't know, miscommunications happen, things go wrong, things change. It just shit happens.
I mean, I work in social media and digital marketing and stuff like that. And it's like, well, yeah, like if my boss told me to put out a tweet with a graphic that I made saying, this show is, going live on November 17th and then it turns out that, you know, one of the talent is stuck in another country or whatever, then I'm going to have to post one saying it's starting on December 10th. Like, it's you're not going to not promote something that you want people to see
right.
in the off chance that an unforeseen event is going to delay it. That's just... I don't know. And that's what I think when I see a delay like this is like, well, that's unfortunate for everyone involved. It's probably a shit ton more work, not just for the developers, but for the marketing people, you know, like imagine all the shit that would have to change because of that. And so as a consumer, it's like, I guess I'll just wait a few more weeks. Like,
this is the thing. Yeah. Like, people love to get fired up about this stuff. And it's like the implication, like they've done this to fuck over you or something. Like, this is such... They need... You know, they've spent so much money on this game. They need this game to come out ASAP. And even, like, I was walking around the city today and walked past EB and they had big posters for the game up. And I was just thinking, like, oh, yeah, they, you know, someone's now got to ship out, like, posters with updated dates. Like, none of that stuff is... All of that stuff costs a lot of money, like so it's not it's not like you can just flippantly change a date. A decision like that doesn't get made without a huge amount of back and forth of like, we can't really do this unless we absolutely have to deliver the product that we want to deliver.
But like, just to like take this, I'm trying to avoid using the term devil's advocate because that always suggests that you're just going to say something annoying, but
yeah,
to take the other side for a moment,
sure.
I get that people are annoyed that what they perceive to be like poor management, possibly, because like for it to happen this often then impacts their enjoyment of the part of it that none of us really engage in, which is the hype machine aspect of it. And the looking forward to it being released. Like, I can see none of us would personally take days off probably to play games. I might. Actually, I have. But I don't think that that is in any way something that I am, like, owed certainty on. That's me doing a frivolous thing.
But yeah, like, totally. If you can do that, that's a luxury position that you have. And if you want to live your life that way, then... Like, good for you. Like, that's great. But, like, to suggest that you have, like, really massively been hard done by, it's like, yes, it's annoying. But, I mean, I've had things where...
But the delay goes beyond...
Yeah, I've had a window of time where something's coming out and it's been, like, great. I've got a chunk of spare time there where it'll really suit me to play it then. And now it's been delayed to a time where I'm going to be overseas or, you know, whatever it is. But...
The fact that it's the third time it's happened and it happened again this close to release, I get why people are frustrated by that, you know?
And I will say, to be fair, like, also, there's been a lot of stuff that people have dredged up of them replying to people tweeting going, oh, so is it definitely on track? And, like, you know, within the last week, them going, yep.
I think literally the day before this happened.
Yeah, and so that's just, like, such a huge breakdown of...
Right.
Communication between, like, it's like, just say no. I can understand being annoyed by that.
But I can also understand that was never not going to happen. Like I said, literally in my role, in my day job, it's like I would have, if someone sent me an email saying, you know, hey, producer, is this show premiering tomorrow? I would say yes, because there is a chance that I wouldn't know that that show is getting delayed until an hour before it was meant to go to air. Like, I'm in a relatively small business. Like, of course that chain of command or that chain of communication has broken down.
The social media person
breaks down in a fucking milk bar between the guy in the storeroom and the guy in the front. Like, that's just how businesses work.
But most video game businesses don't work like this, I think, is the thing that annoys people, is that most of the time when there's something said, it tends to happen. Things get delayed all the time, obviously, but you know what I mean? This is just, maybe it's because it's a higher profile game, but it's a more noticeable pushing back of the goalpost multiple times. But also, it's happening during a crazy fucking year and a year when all these new consoles are showing up that they weren't ready. Like, I get why it's happened, and I'm on their side
in general,
because you don't do something like this without a very fucking good reason as a last resort. Like,
well, yeah, I think it's just a perfect storm where that, you know, this game is so big and so ambitious that I think an initial delay was inevitable. A game this big is always going to get pushed back from its initial launch date. So you've got that. Then you've got COVID's fucked everything up. So then that's the second one. And then now, because they've been delayed to such an extent, they're launching at a time where all these consoles are coming out within the same week of that launch. And this is the thing that kind of really struck me as sort of the big takeaway from the story, is them having to develop a game for 9 different platforms at the same time. Like, that to me really just made me realize how insane it is to have these new consoles launching and there be multiple versions of the same console, and that it feels like there's a bit more of a focus than there has been in the past of this compatibility with the previous and new gen at the same time. Like, you might in the past you'd get a game that, you know, has been delayed enough where it comes out on the new gen at the same time as the old one, but the fact that you've got all these PS5 launch games are also launching on the PS4, and then, yeah, like they said, you've got to factor in the PS4 Pro as well, and then you've got the Xbox Series S and Series X, and it kind of made me realize, are we going to see these like bigger and bigger delayed release times if companies are all having to factor in just so many different platforms?
Sure. For their Assassin's game. Creed and Call of Duty and all those sort of things that are doing the same thing are still coming out around the same at the time they said. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm not, they're essentially an indie studio still. They're massive. But like, yeah, they're their own publisher and all that sort of stuff, which what the fuck's the definition of the term indie? But they don't have an Activision or whatever kind of writing them to do it. They can make their own decisions about when they want to do stuff. And yeah, whatever. It's up to them ultimately, and they wouldn't do it without a reason. And it sucks that it means harder work for people.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. What's the alternative? They bring it out and, you know, it's buggy and it needs patches and they get reamed in reviews and, you know, the consumers are mad at them, or you do this and consumers are mad, but they're mad earlier and they get over it and then they like the game when it comes out. Like,
totally. You know. And ultimately they'd have made this decision based on someone figuring out, like, it is more profitable to delay it and have it work than it is to release it and have to patch it. You know, so.
Yeah. The thing I don't understand is that sort of, you know, like you took that sort of in-between perspective, Nox, of like, or, you know, I'm saying this is the in-between perspective because what you do see a lot of very loudly is people who are just pissed off that the game isn't coming out and they want to play it. Like, I think we forget how loud and significant a voice of the gaming public is taken up by, like, actual young people. Like, I remember, what was it the other week? Something fucking got delayed or changed or something. And, there was a patch for the PlayStation 4 that changed how parties worked, as in multiplayer parties. Mm. And there was, like, a heap of people complaining about it and replying to every Sony tweet about every, you know, PS5 announcement with, fix the PS4, you've broken the PS4, fix the patch, you've broken multiplayer, you've broken parties. And, like, a lot of that was from, like, 14-year-old kids, 15-year-old kids who were pissed off that they couldn't play COD together. Like, there was TikToks of, like, literal children yelling and smashing their controllers over it. And that is probably a significant portion of a response that seems juvenile, right? Like, there is a large element of, I just want my game, that makes me annoyed. Like,
sure. I mean, not all kids are fucking like that, I guess. But also, that's just a problem with social media in general.
Yeah.
Is you get exposed to that type of fucking opinion so much more easily. And the shittier people are the louder ones because they don't consider what they're saying. You know what I mean?
For sure. But that is a loud element of the reaction to this delay. It's people just being like, yeah, but I want to play my game. So I think almost that position that you touched on, Nox, of like, I think that CD Projekt Red have bad management is like, is that a lot of the people who are actually pissed off, or are a lot of the people just doing that as like an intellectual exercise to be like, well, if I, you know, I see where this went wrong and I'm expressing an opinion on it because we talk about stuff on the internet. Like, how much of it is people being like, I don't actually feel angry about this, but I'm taking this position because I want to have a chat?
Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say because there are some people there's a weird number of people who are like, I booked time off work. This has fucked my plans.
Mm.
Which, like, that, yeah, I don't know. That is just unfortunate. But it's not someone's... I guess we're also coming to this from the perspective of people who have worked on creative projects before and know what the what it's like to have something not be ready and, and to have to put it out. If you had the option of putting it back 3 weeks, you fucking would every time to make sure that it was good. So I think we can sympathize more than maybe some people who haven't had that sort of experience with CD Projekt because, you know, we've felt that pressure in a different way and to a lesser degree, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is to be this deep into a year where everything has been delayed or cancelled or just isn't happening anymore and to still be kind of like getting like surprised or angry about this happening is just, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's like, I've got concert tickets that I'm now going to in 2022, you know? Like, you know, there's just all manner of things that delayed or just not happening at this point. So to be like, what the fuck? It's like, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. It's not.
At the same time, I guess, when every part of your life has been fucked around by all the stuff that's happened this year, having something where you're like, I'm looking forward to this get changed, it's easy to have your initial reaction be, fuck! And it's easy to have your initial reaction be the thing you first post. You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Disengage with all social media at all times, every single person in the world, except for promoting our show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find all of our...
Don't forget the Patreon.
Yes.
But speaking of all that sort of stuff, I got an email this afternoon from Amazon confirming that my pre-order of a PlayStation 5 has been secured. Oh. Something that I didn't realize was ever up in the air. That's nice to get confirmation of something that I basically already assumed, so that's good.
It was great. On my 1 year anniversary with my girlfriend, she sent me a message saying, hey, I think we should be exclusive. And I was like, oh. No, I know. I got the same email saying that the stock has been secured, but that, you know, as we continue to work with health authorities, blah, 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 release day might not happen, da, da, da.
Right. I did that pre-order thing where you didn't. Yeah, you didn't have to pay anything up front, which I actually kind of didn't like because I was like, I'd rather pay and have the security that I'm getting it. But anyway.
Everything will happen one day. Don't worry about it. We're never going to die. You don't have to get things right away.
Absolutely. Yeah, if my EB Games pre-order of my PS5 gets cancelled, though, I will smash my controller. Fucking smash it.
There are some things that would make me angry if they did. I don't know. It's just, it's a fucking rough year. Give people a break, I guess, because like... Mm. It sucks to be in the position where you're shooting off that fucking, I can't, this isn't ready yet email. That's way worse than being on the other side of that where you're not getting your thing 3 weeks before.
I think that's the thing, right? It's like everyone who, justifiably or not, is really pissed off about the Cyberpunk delay. I feel like they don't take a moment to think of like, everyone involved in this process is just a person with a family who's trying to do their job the best they can. Like the person who sent out that tweet with that, you know, screenshot of the, or the, you know, the designed letter was a social media person who's probably just really lucky to have their job at the moment. Like everyone is just,
they want it to be done so they can clock off and, you know, have a bit more time back. It's, you know, they're all not going like,
we're all someone's daughters.
For the love of the game.
We're all someone's sons.
That's right.
How long? Can they delay Cyberpunk? I want to shoot a sci-fi gun.
It is very funny that there's like an official Cyberpunk delay announcement letterhead template that's just ready to go and been getting a real workout over this year. That's very funny. Like when they designed that first one, I don't think they thought they'd have to. I wonder if the original file got deleted because they were like, we didn't 100%. Think we'd need to use this again. Someone's got to mock up a fresh one.
But at the same time, if I was like at some higher part of that company, I would be going to the people who were doing it like, well, why is this happening again? This is crazy. Why didn't we delay it for the amount of time we needed to? Because as much as like delaying something is annoying, but then over-promising with that delay, being like, I don't have it ready now, but it will be ready in 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks comes by, and you're like, I'm not finished still. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm a centrist is what I'm saying. Elections are one in the middle is my opinion.
Oh, God.
I guess also, like, living in Melbourne where over the last, in my opinion, 4 months, we've had several... several literal release dates being missed and delayed. Like, those really upset me and pissed me off. Yes. So that, I guess that, you know, and especially this news dropping on the day where we have freedom, I think it's like, you know, for a lot of us, you know, for me personally, I was just like, yeah, you know, there's bigger things going on at the moment, you know.
Totally.
But anyway, look, let's move on. So, yeah, also overnight there was a bunch of, I guess, an embargo or like preview units of the PlayStation 5 went out. And so
they
a bunch
sent
of
out
outlets have done unboxing videos and what have you.
Yeah, they're full-on retail units. They're not preview ones. Mm. The Series X got sent out with like preview, not finalized hardware. But these are proper PlayStation 5s that have been sent out with also an embargo lifted on the first level of that new Astrobot game.
Yes,
and
yes.
As a reputable gaming information journalism outlet, we, of course, were on the list to receive our PlayStation 5s, courtesy of Sony. So should we do a live unboxing here? I don't know if it'll work as well over audio, but we've all got PS5s.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
Of course we do.
A couple. Yeah.
Why wouldn't Sony send them to us?
Totally.
They sent them to IGN and to Giant Bomb and to, you know, all those sorts of people. So, of course, we got ours in the mail. I'll just... let's... heavy!
Yeah, yeah. Should we all open them at the same time?
Yeah. Okay.
3, 2, 1. Zip.
Ba-boom.
I tried to make a smashing noise, but I didn't want to break anything that was around me. I broke my PS5! Yeah, we don't have them.
No, we don't have any.
Yeah, now you guys have both watched unboxing videos and what have you.
Yes.
I haven't seen any of these. To be honest, I went looking and I found it very, very hard to find any of these videos because of having to wade through the hundreds and hundreds of megabytes of pictures that people have taken of the PS5 next to other things as a size comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck me dead. As far as I could see, that is the only kind of content that anyone has bothered to put up of this thing. Here it is next to my toaster. Here it is next to my fridge. I mean...
That's fucking wild because they were very easy to find. Me and Ben both watched them.
Yeah. Multiple ones. In-depth ones. Very well-produced ones. What's his name? Mark Brownlee, I think. Marcus Brownlee. He's like mainly a tech reviewer. I watched his one from start to finish. There was a British dude who I watched. I watched the IGN one as well, although I think they broke theirs up into they did like the controller separately. Mm. And like I had this thought while I was watching them as well, that all anyone is commenting on is the size of them. But it is the first thing that you want to mention, right? They are genuinely quite big.
They're fucking enormous. Yeah. They're bigger than the PS3 was. And I remember getting a PS3 back in the day and being blown away by that fucking washing machine of a thing. And
yeah, I remember having to take a shelf out of like the unit that I put it in. I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm putting those DVDs on the floor. It's going to be literally the same thing. Like I measured up my unit.
PS4. How many inches you rocking, dude?
About average. Now, back to the...
Which side of average? What do you mean by about?
That would have been nice, given that it's already so big and it's taking up so much room.
Hell yeah, dude.
It would have been nice if they had have gone.
Hell yeah, dude. I bet it is. Hell yeah, dude.
It would have been nice if they had have just gone, this thing's already so big. Why don't we just chuck a washing machine in it? It's already taking up so much fucking room.
Totally.
It'd be nice to give people the option of just getting rid of their washing machine if just have chucked a whole other appliance in it.
The biggest reason that I will forget that I put laundry on is because I started playing a game while it was washing. And then like 4 hours later, I'll be like, fuck.
Yep.
And have to do it again.
Yeah.
So if I could have a console / washing machine, that would really actually do a huge amount for me.
This is a great idea.
Totally.
Yep.
People were trying to push those smart fridges, you know, when the Internet of Things was starting to be a thing. Washing machine video game consoles, that's the smart move.
Yeah. Chuck an Ouya in my washing machine.
Yeah. What else? I mean, I think they look pretty cool. The detailing of like the button shapes, you know, the X's and triangles mm-hmm. and shit on the interior, like physically the build looks cool. And I'm much more into the design of it, I think, now that I see it in
totally.
Real, you know, next to someone.
Seeing them yep. being handled and moved around in a physical space, I really do like it a lot more. It looks otherworldly in a cool way.
Yes, totally. Agreed. Mm. Yeah. I think that video that I watched, he put them next to the Xboxes, the new ones.
Yeah.
And he even, like, Modi was sort of moving the Series X around. It looked kind of flimsy and light. Like, apparently the PS5 is big and heavy and... It seems like expensive, which it is. Like, you know, it feels like it's had a lot of shit put into it, which is good. You know, I'm paying a lot of money for it. We didn't get sent any for free.
No.
I'm happy about that, I think.
It looks cool. The Xbox that he had was one of those like preview ones. So I think that wasn't final build quality type stuff.
Right.
They have mentioned that in the Xbox videos that I've watched.
Right.
But, I like just before this, I was looking at a little fucking table thing, trying to find one that I can put next to the TV stand to put this thing on because, yeah, it is big enough that it's kind of an issue.
I've got my subwoofer on one side of my, you know, unit on the ground. I think the PS5 is just going to be sitting on the ground next to the TV unit on the other side. I think that's probably how it's going to go.
You don't have carpet there, do you? You don't want it sitting next to, on carpet if it's got the intakes right there.
No, I believe that will be on hardwood floors.
It can also still suck in dust from the ground, a lot like UA plugger, so make sure that it's a little bit raised. But
that's why they call me the Hoover. That and one other reason.
It was interesting that it really does need that stand too, especially if it's horizontal. You can't place it horizontally without that stand. It wobbles.
Yes, yep.
So you need to have that thing. But yeah, the build quality and everything looks great. And the thing that I'm most excited to try using is the controller because especially in the videos that I've watched of that first level of Astrobot that people can talk about, everyone across the board seems blown away with how that controller works, particularly the
haptic triggers. Yeah.
And that game is a pack-in. I think it's a pre. It's just on the system. It's a preload and it's clearly been designed as a you know, Wii Sports style. Here's what this controller can do. So kind of everything that you're doing takes advantage of that.
And it's really cool that like it has four worlds and each of the worlds is a different PlayStation console. So you're going through and looking at this history.
I thought that's
of
cool
the,
too.
I'm going to fucking love that thing, I think. And so the controller has a few cool things in it that I wasn't super across in all the previous talk about the console. A built-in microphone with a little mute button is cool. A physical mute button on your controller is nice.
Yep.
Really good build quality with, again, those little the PlayStation symbols kind of bezeled into it or whatever you would call it.
Engraved
as the grip
or something.
Just a nice little touch. But then the main things, are those triggers have very high resistance if the developer wants them to. So you can literally kind of get it to stop halfway down or something.
I know, that's fascinating, right? That software controls the physical malleability of something on the controller. I can't wait to test that out. That's
it
so
really,
interesting.
If it gets used properly, and the comparisons that a lot of people making it to the HD Rumble with the Switch Joy-Cons that didn't get utilized a lot, because this thing does have haptic rumble built into it as well that apparently is way better than the Switch's one was even.
Right.
And trying the demos of that were actually using it properly were really cool at the time. But then, just nothing has really utilized it since. Mm.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think that Astrobot game looks cool. I really can't wait to play that. And I agree with you guys. The controller seems cool. But I watched two videos of the hands-on of the Astrobot thing, and both of them at the end said, this controller is really cool. The functionality is really impressive, but it remains to be seen, you know, just how much it really gets utilized. And I don't mind putting money down that the answer to that is probably not much / not at all. It sounds really cool, but it does really strike me as a thing that is just going to be, unfortunately, abandoned pretty quickly.
First party Sony games, I could see using it pretty extensively. Like Gran Turismo will be fucking rad to have different tensions on the accelerator and the brake for different cars or different, like if you're in a rally car versus a street racing car or whatever. that sort of thing will use it. I can imagine God of War have, you know, those sorts of games having good HD Rumble uses. But yeah, the third party games.
I'd love to be wrong, but I can't. It just strikes me as one of those things that's cool in the handful of things that use it. And also, yeah, when you're talking about a console that has a lot of third party stuff, well, you know, it's just not realistic if they're developing it across a range of consoles to take that extra time to just put it into one of the versions of it.
On the other hand, the PlayStation tends to be the lead platform for most third-party games. So, compared to the Switch, it makes sense that nobody gave a fuck about it from third parties with the Switch, because nobody gave a fuck about even developing games for the Switch as third parties. 90% of the games on there are PC ports of indie games or Nintendo games, you know?
Yeah. 100%.
And it makes sense that Nintendo would also forget about the thing that they invented, because they're fucking crazy. So
they're just psychos, yeah. Fully mental.
But like, I think we built this thing, but you know what's cool? Fucking cardboard.
Yes. even with the DualShock 4, the big touch button in the middle, it doesn't, and you know, it's touch sensitive, you can swipe, you can do your gestures
little
and all that shit. Yeah. The main thing that it gets used for, or has been used for in every game that was on the PS4, was press to open the map. Or sometimes press to open the menu. But mostly sometimes press to open the map.
Huge button. Yeah.
Sometimes scrolling to zoom in and out of the map or something like that.
Sure. But I will say it's perfectly placed for that button. You know, like that thing that you're going to do every now and then that isn't one of the, you know, controllers for whatever, for combat or whatever. Like, it's fine that you just have this big, fat default button in the middle that is like, this is the map button. Like, that's cool. I think I also liked, on the DualSense, the LED light is on the front, or the top, I should say. It always seemed kind of pointless that the LED on the DualShock was, like, not in view. Like,
well, and would just reflect in your TV annoyingly. I always fucking hated that. But totally. Those LEDs being a ring around like the face of the thing is an improvement. And I think just functionally, I'm not a game developer, obviously, but more ideas spring to mind, I suppose, from just a better version of Rumble. It seems easier to implement individual footsteps or big, you know, the feel of someone punching you or something. And those
safe
triggers
cracking,
as well.
Safe cracking, lock picking, you know, stuff like that actually requires precision, like something that you would physically have to be careful with in real life.
And compared to just a trackpad, which even PC games don't really use that as anything other than a cursor ever. You know what I mean? So there was no real need for the trackpad thing because it didn't work that well.
Totally.
But the things that they've done to this controller do seem like they could potentially have more interesting practical applications and be more fun for developers to use. And compared to the Switch, it's generally the lead platform for games. So I could see it being used more than the HD Rumble and shit in the Switch controller, which would be cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm really keen to get my hands on it and try it for myself, because these videos that I watch, the people trying to describe this very specific touch sensation, there was an element of it where I was like, you sound insane trying to describe what it feels like when this controller mimics the feel of water. It was like, I kind of get it, but I just really need to hold it.
And totally. And someone saying like, it feels like there's a scraping motion in the controller. Like, what the fuck are you talking? But when we were trying out those Joy-Cons at the Switch event before it launched, and you two both tried that thing where it had the little ball bearings inside the controller, or it was meant to feel like there were ice cubes or something rattling around in there. When you were saying that's what it felt like, I thought you were both fucking idiots. And then I held it and I was like, I guess I'm the dumbass too. Because it really... So I would love to see that stuff be just a new physical element to games. Because like with all the VR stuff that you guys have been getting more into lately, having more of a physical element in games really adds something that pushes a new mechanic beyond just the thing that it is. You know, like how an analog stick is not that different from a D-pad, but it completely changed the way the games felt and moved.
Totally.
I don't think this will be that kind of a leap, but I think it's cool to have
a really new physical element that you instantly make sense when someone
just a slight little element of immersion that makes you feel a bit more like you're in that world, even if it doesn't super change how the gameplay is working. Or I mean, there was one of the videos I watched, the guy about the Astrobot level, the guy was saying, you know, it feels really cool and it's really impressive. I don't really feel like that me completing the level was down to the feedback that I was getting from the, you know, from the haptic feedback and whatever else. He was like, I feel like I would have had the same level of success with just a regular PlayStation controller. But you know, it's that little bit more immersion. It's, know, it's just, it feels a bit more fun. It feels cool. And it's not something you've experienced before. So it's it sticks out and it feels impressive.
And that's just the point we're at, right? Like 4K and ray tracing and frame rates and this sort of controller stuff, they don't fundamentally change things in the way that things have been fundamentally changed in previous generations. But we're just sort of not at that point again yet.
Totally. Right. I think the VR comparison is probably the best one so far, Nox, because the Half-Life Alyx, yes, that could be... that could have been developed as and played as a normal FPS game.
Yeah.
It had a great story, good aesthetic, fun gameplay, but because you're playing it in a VR setting that has been designed to make the actions that you do within the game feel second nature, it just makes it more enjoyable. It's more impressive. It's more of a you know, sophisticated work of art. And if the HD Rumble stuff gets used in sort of secondary or peripheral ways, those can still contribute to being to a game being really, really good.
And if it just gets one of your other senses going, you know, you've got sight and sound, and if you can have touch more intimately connected to the game, if you know what I fucking mean, chuck that HD Rumble on your clit, my dude. But anyway, whatever. We're done with this.
Speaking of...
Wait. We did... look, it's been a long week. It's been a long year. So my memory is at its absolute worst. But did we talk about the PlayStation home screen, menus and activities and shit on the pod, or did we just talk about it in the chat?
I can't remember, but I don't think any... like, it looked fine.
I think that sub-menu that pops up during games that offers, like, hints and guides and, like, trophy things and, like, all these cards along the screen is a little distracting and weird. I don't know that it's for me. Hopefully you can just, like, turn all that shit off. But I like the home screen.
Yeah, I don't think it'll pop up during the game. It's just a thing that when you go into the menu...
Right, I think it's like if you tap the PlayStation button, it goes to that, and if you hold it, it goes to home or something, I think, like that,
And they showed off the Series X ones as well, which all looks pretty similar to the Xbox One.
Yeah, it does. I think that's already the interface maybe on that the Xbox app on PC, the beta, the one that's in beta. I think it's the same interface.
I think it's coming backwards to the Xbox One too at some point, or maybe already has, I don't know.
Right.
I haven't looked in a little bit. But yeah, that the consoles look good. The PS5 seems like the more interesting one to me as someone who has a PC.
Yes.
They're always nice that they're, like, in the first, you know, within the first year. I kind of think, like, most console menus and interfaces, by the time they're at the end of their life cycle, they've, like, updated them and added so much stuff that they're a bit slow and a bit clunky and garish. So it's kind of always nice when you have that clean slate where they've just been, you know, completely refined and feel a bit more sleek instead of... Like, to me, coming into it late, the Xbox One just feels so... It's just got so much stuff kind of, like,
I think grafted it was kinda,
onto it coming off it, at all these it, different points.
It was always a bit like that.
Right.
Okay.
I remember in 2014 feeling like, fucking hell, where's the options?
Yeah. Yes. I think I had the exact same thought. Like, here's some... and I even... So there was another video that came out last night. It was a couple of guys... doing an Xbox sort of physical run through. Did either of you guys watch that one?
I skipped through it, but it was really boring to me.
I thought it was done well. I can't imagine it being more appealing, like in a good way. Like I thought it made me want to buy and play games on an Xbox Series X. And then it finished and I was like, oh yeah, but I'm getting a PS5. Like, it was good. And if you're one of those people, like we've said over and over, who for budgetary reasons can only get, for like, say, the Series S and Game Pass, you're going to have a fucking great time. Like, I took out of it. It looks good. It looks simple. It's slick. There were a few like cards in the home screen that appeared to be directly like funneling you through buying, you know, chains. But that's okay, I guess. You know, that's it's a business. They got to make money. But yeah, I still think as another option, it's just a really, really good option. But yeah. I got a PC, so fuck it.
I've been trying to take a bit more advantage of the Xbox and the Game Pass. I started Yakuza Zero. The other week, I think I'm like 6 or 7 hours in, and man, it's fucking great. I am really, really loving it.
I don't remember if
super fun combat.
Don't remember if I ever talked about it, but I'm up to a roughly similar point. I played it for a bit before, so I'll join in.
Yeah,
agreeing with you, Tommy. Yeah, here.
Yeah,
yeah.
Really fun, and it's on there, and yeah, I just had not been touching the Xbox and downloading new shit on the other consoles and was just like, oh, I've got to make more of an effort to dip in on this and download stuff. You know, I was just sitting there. I've been wanting to start it for a while. And like a lot of Japanese games, there's definitely huge chunks of just sitting through cutscene for what feels like hours on end. But fortunately, those cutscenes are great. The story is great. The acting is great. The world is great. And just the whole setup of it is, it kind of feels like what you would hope, you know, like those arcade brawlers from back in the day, and then they would bring them out on a home console, and it's like, I mean, this is more suited to just playing for 15 minutes in an arcade. Yeah. But it feels like an actual home realization of that. It's a dumb, stupid brawler at its heart. The combat is like, you know, has a bit of depth, but it is just like, run around and punch the fuck out of people, but then there's big story and
try and get all the guys to come through one doorway at the same time so you can just kick them all over and over and over again. Like, it is, the combat can be incredibly simple, but yeah, like, it's fun. It's like a pulpy Japanese gangster movie that goes for like, I don't know, 50 hours or something. Like, it's super fun. That world is fun to be in. I keep sort of half getting it mixed up with Judgment because it's like, it's the same team, the same developers, the same sort of world, but it's a little more serious. It's a little less crazy and over the top. I don't know how you guys feel about this because Yakuza Like a Dragon is the new one that's coming out, and it is not a melee brawler game. It's turn-based.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a, maybe it's, you know, this is a selfish perspective, but like, I don't really generally like those brawler games, but Yakuza made me like it. Mm. And I was happy to be like, yeah, okay, this is the one where I play that style. And, I mean, you know, there's so many turn-based Japanese games that...
I kind of feel the same way. I've played so much turn-based stuff in the last couple of years. I'm still looking forward to playing it, but yeah, the point of difference for going in on a Yakuza game for me was that it's a different style of game to what I've been playing a lot of, but it's, you know, it looks cool. It's meant to be good. Yeah.
To be fair as well, it's like more of a Paper Mario style of like lighter turn-based type of thing from the looks of it. And they have made 150 Yakuza games in the style that they've been making those in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Because in Japan,
and they remastered them all, right? Like, they remastered them and re-released them. Like, they're all there if I do want to play them.
There's like two or three or maybe four that are still Japan only. There were two. There were like feudal Japan ones that looked fucking cool, and both of them are Japan only PS3 games.
Yakuza
subtitle, and then there were two on the PSP that apparently weren't very good. That are also just not localized, but nobody cares about them. I've played 6 hours of one of them, but I still know that. Fucking hell.
What do you say, boys? Is that going to do us for this week? I think that's all there is.
It's a holding pattern week for sure in terms of like game releases are kicking off again as of next week. Watch Dogs Legion is out tomorrow, I think, or like today of the time of releasing this possibly.
Yep.
And then it all just kind of keeps going from there.
Yeah, I hope people will forgive us a slightly shorter one for this week, but hey, we've got an outside world to be allowed to interact with for the first time in, you know, in the opinion of me and also science and the you know, and the Roman calendar, 4 months.
Yeah,
So
pretty colonialist of you to go with the Roman thing. So
okay.
I mentioned, I think, the other week that I was moving house and that I would be living with my partner and gaming was going to be, you know, a thing that I've never lived with someone, so I didn't know how that was going to go. I was playing Need for Speed Payback earlier and she walked in and said, "Oh, you're playing Cars," and walked out again. So that's how it's going. feeling like a grown-up, really enjoying.
I can see why earlier you were like, all these 14-year-olds on Twitter giving us a bad name. Gaming's not for children. Get off Twitter if you're 14.
Yeah. So enjoy that tidbit, listeners. Can tide you over for the 10 minutes that we might have rambled about a different game this week. Enjoy. But yeah, I'll be playing Watch Dogs Legion. I guess that'll be our main review next week. If people are going in on that, you can expect a review of Watch Dogs Legion.
Well, hopefully.
Oh, and Pikmin 3 is out on the Switch, which I missed on the Wii U and played the demo of a couple of weeks ago and finished it in one sitting and never really played a Pikmin game before.
Right.
Loved it. Looking forward to playing that. So.
And then it's fucking 2 weeks until the PS5 and the Xbox Series X are
both. Yeah.
How crazy is that?
That's insane.
There's nearly new. It's nearly a new generation.
Yeah.
I'm really excited now, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing I realized with Cyberpunk's delay is that we probably won't be taking into Game of the Year consideration, right? Like, we'll probably be recording our end of year eps before it comes out. We might have to
around the same time, probably.
Certainly, yeah. Very, very soon after.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Damn it! Fuck you, CD Projekt. You fucked up our episodes. I had time off planned for my podcast, and now we have to record them later.
But yeah, that's something. That's something to consider. Maybe we have to make it a 2021 game. But yeah.
Nah, anyway, who cares?
Anyway, who cares? that's the end of the episode. What do you say at the end?
Let's wrap it up. Thanks very much for listening. filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all of our socials. We've got the Patreon where you can get a bonus episode every week. At Huey Baby on Instagram if you're listening to this hot off the presses on Thursday. If there's anything you've ever wanted to ask us, then send it to his inbox. Guys, thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
At symbol HEWYBABY. Any questions you've got as soon as you hear this.
I think Twitter as well, right? It's probably more direct.
Yeah. Sure, or Twitter. Yeah, go for it. At HueyBaby. Yeah. We're not joking.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.